You're with SBS Radio.
The third Indigenous Super Summit was held in Brisbane last month, and its findings were tabled to government yesterday. Now, to talk to us about these findings, I've got on the line Eva Skelling. She's head of Indigenous Superannuation Working Group and also the CEO of the Australian Institute of Superannuation Trustees. Welcome back to NITV Radio, Eva.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, now tell us about the findings of the summit, because we spoke just shortly before this summit last month, and you've tabled the findings to government now.
Yes, that's right. So the summit was held about a month ago, just over a month ago. We had about 70 people from across the superannuation industry, government agencies, and then Indigenous financial counsellors present. And at the end of the day, we came up with a series of actions that everyone would commit to. And they really centre around having a much more focused agenda on how do we look after people that have vulnerable needs, and how do we simplify the superannuation system more. So we've talked about a commitment to standardisation of forms. So at the moment, you know, if you consider that there's 150 superannuation funds, that means there's 150 different types of forms that people need to fill out. And that makes it very difficult for anyone trying to help the Indigenous community with their financial services to understand what they need to get people to bring along to a meeting, for example. So simplifying and standardising forms is one thing. And then the other really big recommendation coming out of the summit is the working together with the financial counsellors that exist in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, so that superannuation funds will accept them as third-party agents to help people over the phone, and that we will collaborate more on the solutions going forward.
Yeah, this reminds me a quote from one of the participants in the last summit that was held in Melbourne a couple of years ago. She said that we don't fit in your boxes, because superannuation forms had boxes to fill out, and some of the questions were totally irrelevant to Indigenous communities, and the identification process was a problem already at the time.
Yes, that's right. And from the very first summit that we held, you know, we knew that the identification issues in particular were a big problem. We then worked with government on developing some new guidelines and new protocol that would allow super funds to look at other ways to identify people. So if they didn't have a birth certificate or a valid driver's license or a passport, that there were alternative ways of identifying people. And we, at the time, thought that that was a really great success, that we had solved a problem. But the problem that you have when you introduce new guidelines is that they're not mandatory. And so we still, unfortunately, have an ongoing issue with the implementation of this new protocol within the system. And so that is a focus for us over the next 12 months too.
Yeah. Why are these not mandatory?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? Something that I think we need to do a little bit more work on with government. There should be absolutely no excuse for any financial services institution not to accept, you know, the alternative identification protocol set out and clearly thought about and consulted on with the industry that AUSTRAC has produced.
Yeah, and I know when they need to find you, if you owe them money, they'll find you. But when they owe you money, it's another story.
Yeah, that's right. And look, and the Royal Commission highlighted this last year too. You know, the Banking Royal Commission, Justice Haynes said that it was incredibly important for all financial institutions to implement the protocol. So that's what should happen.
Yeah, and there are also other structural issues that were identified among them that do not allow Indigenous people to actually nominate people who are outside their immediate family members, but within their kinship structure. This is also something not well understood by superannuation, because the family structures are different.
Yes, that's right. But the law also doesn't allow us at the moment to take a broad approach to that. So the government has started a new consultation process in relation to looking at the kinship structures in Indigenous communities, so that trustees, in the event of someone's passing, can, you know, allow money to be paid to a much broader group of people than what would be the standard non-Indigenous type family, if you like.
Yeah. Lost superannuation was also addressed, as I can see, and there was also a question of access to financial services in rural and remote areas. But one thing that I can see in the report that is actually of concern is the lack of internet access in those communities. This is not just about superannuation, it's also government delivering services to communities.
Yeah, that's right. And we seem to find solutions to problems by thinking about, you know, what our own life experience looks like without thinking about those people that are living a different life, that are, you know, out in much more remote communities that don't have access to the internet, that may not have a mobile phone, that certainly probably don't have data access on their mobile phone, find it even difficult to take photocopies of documents that they might need in order to prove who they are. So, and that's, you know, for government services like the ATO, as well as for super funds and for banks, for example. So we do need to come up with alternative solutions so that people can be included in the financial system. It's incredibly important for people to feel included and be able to access the services that they need.
Yeah. Well, Eva Skilling, thank you so much for taking the time to enlighten us and bring us this information on such a busy day.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Bertrand.
Want to hear more stories like this? Subscribe to our regular podcasts on iTunes.